Bibles, turn with me to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter number 1 this morning. I appreciate all the singing, the good and the bad, amen. The ladies did the good and I did the bad, amen. But I'm telling you, we do need America to turn back to God, amen. We need some men and some women who will stand up for what's right. We need to get on our knees, amen. When you can't stand, just go to your knees, amen. It'll be all right. Exodus chapter number 1. I call your attention, verse number 1. The Bible says, this is the word of God now. It says, now these are the names of the children of Israel which came into Egypt. Every man and his household came with Jacob, Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, Benjamin, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. And all the souls that came out of the loins of Jacob were 70 souls, for Joseph was in Egypt already. And Joseph died, and all his brethren, and all that generation. And the children of Israel were fruitful, and increased abundantly, and multiplied, and waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them. Verse 8. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them. Lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens, and they built for Pharaoh treasured cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. Now, it says in verse 14, and they made their lives bitter and hard, with hard bondage and mortar and in brick and in all manner of service in the field. All their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of the one was Shiphrah and the name of the other Puah. And he said, when you do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then you shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God, and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said unto them, why have you done this thing and have saved the men children alive? And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively and are delivered ere the midwives come in unto them. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord God, I need you this morning. God, I thank you for what you've done in days gone by. I thank you, God, for, Lord, what you've already done for us this morning. Thank you for the good songs and, Lord, how we worship you. And we want to love you this morning. We want to tell you we love you. And we want to show you we love you. God, we thank you, Lord God, most of all for loving us. The Bible says that, Lord, we love you because you first loved us. And we're thankful that, Lord, you saw us as sinners and yet you still loved us and sent Jesus Christ to die in our stead so that we didn't have to die and go to hell. We thank you for that this morning. We thank you, God, for your goodness, Lord. We thank you for the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. God, we pray in Jesus' name this morning, realizing, Lord, as a preacher, God, I need you. God, Lord, I need the unction from on high so that I can preach your word. God, I pray, Lord, without you, Lord, I realize, Lord, it'll be, Lord, just empty words, and God, it'll be nonsense. But God, I pray, God, you touch us this morning. God, I feel like you've given me a message for today. God, I pray you'd help us, Lord. God, our country needs you. Lord, our churches need you. Lord, your people needs to turn back to you. And I pray, God, you'd help us. God, in these late days, God, I pray you'd help us to turn our hearts towards you. God, I pray you'd bless them, speak to hearts and lives. God, help us to be a sensitive people and help us to have ears to hear. And God, help us to be obedient, Lord, to what the Spirit of God speaks to our hearts today. God, I pray you'd be pleased now in all that we say and do. We'll thank you and we'll praise you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I call your attention to verse number 8 of our text. The Bible says, now there rose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. Rose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. I want to preach with this thought in mind. I want to preach on this title of the message this morning. It'll be, Have You Forgotten? Have you forgotten? Many times in our day in which we live, there are many fads come and fads go, trends come, trends go, TV shows rise, TV shows fall, celebrities come, leaders come, they come and they go. Political leaders rise, nations rise and they fall. Everything in our world seems around us to be vacillating, coming and going. And people forget a lot about them. I mean, there's things that you remember, if you was to jog back in your mind, there's things that you would remember that you've forgotten long ago and set aside that have come and gone. I mean, you know, most of the generation today wouldn't know what it means if you said, I'm going to eat a moon pie and drink an RC. Most of them don't know what an RC is. Amen. I'm just saying things come and things go. Thank God that we get to remember those good days. Amen. Amen. And many times things come and things go, but the sad fact is that in humanity, we have the problem of forgetting the wrong things sometimes. The Bible says here in verse 8 that there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And I got to thinking about that. And if you go back into the book of Genesis and start in chapter 37, you can read the life and most of Genesis 37 all the way through the last chapter, there in chapter 50 of Genesis, most of it, all of it entails the life of a man named Joseph. You study the life of Joseph, you'll find that Joseph is the most, probably the greatest type or typical person of the Lord Jesus Christ that we have in scriptures. You study all about his life, you'll find he's a great picture of the Lord Jesus Christ that's going to come and be the Savior of the world. Matter of fact, I'll just give you some resemblances. In Genesis, we find that Joseph, in Genesis 37, he was loved by his father. Jesus Christ, God spoke of him. The father said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Genesis 37 said of Joseph that his brothers hated him. Jesus said in John 15 that they hated him. And Genesis says that Joseph's brothers rejected his role. The Jews said of Jesus in John 19, we have no king but Caesar. Genesis said of Joseph that before he reached them, they plotted to kill him, speaking of his brothers. The Bible talks about in Matthew 26 how the Israelites consulted and they sought that they might be able to take Jesus, have him arrested and killed in Matthew 26. The Bible speaks of Joseph in Genesis that they stripped him of his robe. Jesus, the Bible says, they parted his raiment and divided up his clothes. They sold Joseph in Genesis 37 for shekels of silver. They sold Judas, sold the Lord Jesus, Matthew 26, for coins of silver. Hey, the Bible says in Genesis that the Lord gave Joseph success in everything that he did. Oh my goodness, the Bible teaches us in the book of John 7:14, Jesus said, I've glorified you, Father. He said, by completing the work which thou hast given me to do. I'm saying this morning that Genesis says that Joseph was entrusted everything to his care. The Bible says of Jesus that God has exalted him and he's given him a name which is above every name. Genesis says that Joseph says, how then could he go and sin against God? The Bible says of Jesus that he was tempted in all points, yet without sin. I hope I'm not boring you. I'm just showing you a little resemblance between Joseph and Jesus. The Bible says of Joseph that Joseph's masters took him and put him in prison. The Bible said of Jesus that they bound him and they led him away and they delivered him to Pilate. The Bible says of Joseph that they imprisoned him because of a false story by a lying Potiphar's wife. The Bible says of Jesus in Mark 14 that many bear false witness against him and accused him. The Bible says of Joseph that there were two other prisoners with him when Jesus was on the cross, and when he went to Calvary, there were two other men led away with him to the cross. Genesis says that Joseph, one of the two men with him, only one received the message of life. You remember on the cross, there was one man that Jesus turned to, and he said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. In Genesis, Joseph, the Bible says that there was no one with discernment and was as discerning and as wise as Joseph. And Jesus, the Bible said, in him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom. The Bible says of Joseph that he was received wide acclaim. Go back to Philippians 2. Jesus, the Bible said, God exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, that every tongue should confess. That's of the things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the father. The Bible said of Joseph that he was lost. His career, his political career, his professional career began at the age of 30. The Bible says that Jesus began to be about 30 years of age when he began his public ministry. God intended in Joseph's life, the Bible said that the devil, the people, the men that came against it, Genesis, Joseph said to his brethren, he said, "Ye meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." Oh, my friend, the Bible said that Jesus, he came into this world and he came to seek and to save that which was lost. And when the world thought they was putting him down and they sought evil and they sought to do him harm, God was winning the victory at Calvary. Hey, my soul, Genesis says that Joseph, the Bible says that they put him, Potiphar put him in charge of the whole land. Jesus said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Woo! Hallelujah. Genesis, the Bible says of Joseph, the Asketh, a Gentile bride, shared his glory. Thank God, Romans 11 says salvation is coming to the Gentile. Thank God that Jesus Christ is right today gathering himself a Gentile bride. Amen. Genesis teaches us that Joseph was dealing, when he dealt with his brothers, he brought them to repentance. Thank God that God's exalted the Lord Jesus that he might give repentance. And the Bible says in the book of Romans that the goodness of God leadeth men to repentance. I'm telling you, Joseph was a great type, a picture, Brother Josh, a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, they didn't know about Jesus, but they knew about Joseph. They saw Joseph, and they heard the message, and they saw Joseph. Can I take you back? I hope most of you probably know the story. But Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers, and he went down into Egypt, and he went through the trials and the misaccusations, and he went to prison, and he came up, and the Bible teaches how he was second in command over all of Egypt. And while he was there, the Bible said that God gave him wisdom and discernment so that he was able to come up with a plan for them to prepare and to plan for the times of famine when the famine came. Hey, Joseph was used to save many people. He was used to save them from starvation. He was used to help them to set aside some crops so that they would have when the time came that their crops did not grow. And God used Joseph. He was a great picture. And let me say, Joseph was of worldwide fame in his day. Everybody knew about this Joseph. Everybody knew that Joseph was number two in command down there and that his plan was the one that was used to save the nation. Everybody knew. You understand? Everybody knew about Joseph. When I think about Joseph, and the Bible says here in Exodus chapter 1:8 that there rose a new king which knew not Joseph. If we was to go back in history, you'd find that it's been about 100 years. It was 144 years from the time Joseph died until the Exodus out of Egypt of the nation of Israel. And from the time that Joseph died to the time that this king rose, there was about 100 years. So in 100 years, there rose a new king that knew not Joseph. Now, I was thinking about that the other day, and I was thinking, wondering what in the world, how in the world could somebody in 100 years as great as Joseph be forgotten? I was thinking about, man, Joseph was the one that preserved their nation. He was the one that if it wasn't for him, they'd have starved to death. I imagine boys walking down the road when Joseph's chariot come down and boys with their daddy, and their daddy would say, "Hey, look at there goes Joseph." I can imagine them talking about him. I can imagine them teaching about him when they taught in their education. I can imagine them teaching them, "Hey, this man's got wisdom. This man made a good decision. Look at the decisions he made. Look at the plan he came up with. Hey, study the life of Joseph. You'll find out he was a famed man. People knew who he was." But yet in 100 years, the Bible says there rose a new king that knew not Joseph. Man, I preach all day. Y'all know we're going to eat. Y'all get your mind off that for a minute and go to church with me. I was thinking about that. How in the world, in 100 years, could somebody forget this man Joseph? Well, I got to thinking about the United States of America. Y'all know the United States of America, whether you want to believe it or not, the United States of America was founded by Christians. I mean, the Declaration of Independence says that we hold these truths to be self-evident. That all men are created equal. Not evolved, created. Right. That they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. You understand that they believe that there was a creator and that their creator was a providential God watching over them. I don't have the time to go into all this, but I want to give you just a few quotes tonight, this morning. I hope I don't bore you. All right? How about, y'all ever heard of Thomas Jefferson? John Quincy Adams, George Washington. I'll just give you some of these quotes from some of these men. I'm just going to pick and choose here. John Quincy Adams said, "I have myself," for those of y'all don't know, he was a president. "I have myself many years made it a practice to read through the Bible once every year. My custom is to read 4 to 5 chapters every morning immediately after rising from my bed. It employs about an hour of my time." That's the President of the United States of America. He said the Bible, not the Reader's Digest, the Bible carries with it the history of the creation, the fall, and the redemption of man, and discloses to him in the infant born at Bethlehem the legislator and the savior of the world. Samuel Adams, y'all know that America's turned him into looking like some wicked man that promoted beer. Samuel Adams was a God-fearing man. He said, "Principally and first of all, I resign my soul to the almighty being who gave it, and my body I commit to the dust, relying on the merits of Jesus Christ for the pardon of my sins." How about that? Samuel Chase, a statesman in the United States, he said, "By our form of government, the Christian religion is the established religion, and all sects and denominations of Christians are placed upon the same equal footing and are equally entitled to protection in their religious liberty." Benjamin Franklin. He said, "Here is my creed. I believe in one God, the creator of the universe, that he governs it by his providence, that he ought to be worshipped." John Hancock, y'all heard of him? "In circumstances dark as these, it becomes us as men and Christians that to reflect that whilst every prudent measure should be taken to ward off the impending judgments, all confidence must be withheld from the means we use and reposed only on that God who rules in the armies of heaven and without whose blessing the best human counsels are but foolishness and all created power vanity." Patrick Henry, y'all remember him? Patrick Henry said, "It cannot be established too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded," listen to this, "not by religionists, but by Christians. Not on religions, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. For this very reason, peoples of other faith have been afforded asylum, prosperity, and freedom of worship here." How about that? What about that separation of church and state, preacher? You won't find it anywhere in a legal document. Patrick Henry said, "It is when people forget God that tyrants forge their chains." He said, "This is the inheritance I give to my dear family. The religion of Christ will give them one which will make them rich indeed." You get in the picture? These are the people who were at the core of founding this great nation. I ain't got time. Y'all, I'm going to bore y'all to death. James Madison, they make him out to be some corrupt liberal infidel. He said, "Cursed be all learning." Listen to this. "Cursed be all learning that is contrary to the cross of Christ." Religion is the basis and foundation of government. Wow. There's one in here I want y'all to hear. George Washington, first president of the United States of America. He said, "No people can be bound to acknowledge and adore the invisible hand which conducts the affairs of men more than the people of the United States." He also said, "It's impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible." I'm going to stop right there on that. I just want to give you a little bit of a background on our country and our nation. When people tell you, it's not a Christian nation. When your president says, "We're not a Christian nation," he's a moron. Read history. I hope I did offend you if you don't like it. It's time somebody reads history. Now think about how we've our kids today, they grow up and they don't hear these type of things. They don't hear this type of stuff. And then they say, we brainwash people. They're brainwashing people, not telling them the truth. I mean, if we didn't found this country on America, of America on God, how come when you pull out a dollar bill, it says in God we trust? Why'd they put it on every piece of currency that they passed around? Go to the Capitol in Washington, D.C. Just walk up there and look at the buildings and see all the things inscribed all over the place. Just see if it ain't the Ten Commandments. See if it ain't the patriarchs or the Old Testament. See if you don't see references to the Bible all over that city. 1776, ring a bell? It ain't been that long ago. But we've already turned our back. I know we've got the remnant. There's a few of us. But our country's turning their back. I'm saying it's time some people stand up and say, hey, we're not going to forget the truth. We're not going to forget. We're going to pass it on to these younger children. We're going to pass on, hey, that God bless America, land that I love. We're going to pass on, hey, we're going to pass on to the new generation that's coming up. We don't want a generation to come up and forget about the Lord Jesus Christ. I think about that, not on our country, but our churches. We've turned our back. It seems as if we've forgotten about God. We've forgotten about the God that we claim that we serve. You study the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel was forever forgetful. It was 400 years between the Old Testament and the New Testament when Jesus came. And they had forgotten the relationship that they had with God. And all they had carried on was some traditions and some rules and regulations in the synagogues. And they had the group called the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And let me say, that's not much different than America. America has experienced revivals. We've had the move of God up and down our land. But it seems like over the years, all we get is bits and pieces. And it seems all we get is some rules and regulations and some traditions. And it's time that we get back, hey, to walking with the God that we say that we know. Have you forgotten? Let me say something about this time here in Exodus. I want to say something about this time when they had forgot this man named Joseph. I want to say, number one, it was a time of notable disregard. Notable disregard. Look with me in verse number 7. The Bible says, and the children of Israel were, it's talking about when Joseph died, verse 6. It says, the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty. And the land was filled with them. But then verse 8 says, there arose up a new king over Egypt which knew not Joseph. The fruit and the heritage that Joseph led was one of blessing, one of prosperity. God blessed Egypt because a man named Joseph was there. There was blessing after blessing after blessing, but the past histories of God's provision and God's man were forgotten. They were disregarded. There had to be, look up in here, for a king to grow up and be educated and go through the system of Egypt and not know about Joseph, there had to be some intentional disregard. Can I say in the United States of America today, we're living in a time of notable disregard. When people turn around and change, they change the textbooks, they change history, they try to take any reference to God out. Can I say if they want to take God out of this country, they're just going to destroy this country and start a new one. God and the Word of God, the Scriptures, are totally inscribed throughout everything that ever had anything to do with the foundation of this nation. It don't shock me to think about Egypt anymore because I look at my own country. I look at America, the land that I love. And I see notable disregard. When the president of the United States stands up and tells people this is not a Christian nation, but yet he invites the Muslims into the lawn of the national. When he wants to have dinners and parties for homosexuals on the national lawn at the White House, but he don't want to have a national day of prayer, can I say, wake up, America! Say, preacher, are you mad? You better believe it. It's time some Christians stand up for what's right. It's time some Americans stand up for what's right. These veterans gave of their lives. They spent their time, hey, defending the freedom that people are pouring down the drain today. And yet we send our kids off to school and we don't tell them no difference. And they are brainwashed in our public universities to believe that separation of... Read the Constitution. Read the Declaration. Read them all. You won't find the term separation of God and state, church and state. It's not there. Thomas Jefferson wrote a letter to a Baptist church. And in that letter, there was the term, the separation of church and state. Had nothing to do with keeping God out of the government. Had everything to do with keeping the government out of the church. I'll tell you why. Why is it being pumped up? Because notable disregard. No, just like in Joseph's day. They could not have forgotten Joseph less than they wanted to. Talking about the man that God used and blessed the nation through him so that the nation could even still exist. George Washington said, it's impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible. When's the last time you read that in your public school textbook? Notable disregard. I mean, it's obvious. Y'all with me this morning? Notable. But not only notable disregard. Think about the blessings. Think about the blessings. Can I say, we sing the song, God bless America, land that I love. Can I say, God has blessed America? We're spoiled to stinking death. We're so spoiled, we're cursed. We've got so much stuff that it keeps us away from spending time with God. I'm not against vacations. Don't get mad at me. Get mad at me if you want, but I'm going to say it true. I'm not against vacations. I'm not against a bass boat or a nice car or having things. But let me say, when those types of things, recreations, hobbies, and things that you enjoy as excess bliss, when those things take you out of the house of God, take you away from time spent with God, take you away from your family altar... Can I say something's wrong? Notable disregard. But let me say, not only notable disregard, let me say this. It was a time of national disrespect. Say, where did you get that, preacher? Watch with me. Look in verse number 8. There rose up a new king over Egypt. That's the nation which knew not Joseph. Verse 9 says, and he said unto his people, behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. He's looking over he's the Egyptian king, but he's looking over there at the Israelites. And he said, they're more and mightier than we. Verse 10, come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us and so get them up out of the land. Therefore, they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasured cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew, and they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. I'll stop right there. Let me say number one, this Pharaoh, he showed his ignorance. In verse number 10, he said, man, lest they come up and multiply. He said, they're going to join up with another army. He's showing his ignorance. He didn't know them people. He didn't know that they were living down there because they wanted to. He showed his ignorance. Not only showed his ignorance, he showed his intimidation. See, a lot of times they are intimidated by what they don't understand. You understand the God fear? The people that don't fear God, the God-hating, atheistic people, they're intimidated by Christians. That's why they don't want us around. His ignorance and his intimidation led to his infliction of slavery and of hardships upon the people. Can I say the reason they come against us, it's not because they know what we're doing, it's because they don't know what we're doing. If they knew what we believe, they'd understand that we preach a message of freedom, liberty, liberation. Hey, we preach salvation. But they're ignorant to that. They're blinded. And they're intimidated by us. They're intimidated by the word of God. Because they know they'll have to bow the knee to a Lord. And so they inflict hardships upon. Understand that when they come against you, they're not coming against you and your family just to come. They're coming against you because you're a Christian. They're coming against you. Can I say there's people today standing. And they're standing in pulpits and they're facing. Can I say it this way and be real nice about it? They're facing hell by the acre. I'm talking
And I don't use that word lightly. I'm talking they are facing oppression. They are facing affliction. They are facing opposition. Because of their stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. There's national disrespect. I look at this fact and I see the anti-Semitism in this man. That is, he was racist toward the people of Israel. He doesn't say let's multiply and increase. No, he said over these people. Anti-Semitism to the people of God. They hated them. They put them under rigor and hardship. And that word rigor talks about the harshness and the cruel service that they had to go through. He disrespected God's people. He disrespected humanity. And he disrespected life itself. It's not much difference in our day. Can I say the people that, in the liberals or whatever you want to call them, the people that are against what we stand for, they're against God's people. They want to see the church die. Let me say to remind you one time, Jesus said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. The church ain't going down, the church is going up. But they come against us. They oppose us. It's going to get harder and harder and harder for a man of God to stand behind a sacred desk, hold the good old King James Bible in his hand, and preach and declare, thus saith the Lord. It's going to get harder and harder and harder to do that without winding himself up in cuffs and chains. You mark my word, the day's coming. It's in countries around us. Why wouldn't it come to us? National disrespect. They hated the Jews. They wanted the Jews under hard labor. They wanted the Jews to die. They had disrespect for God's people. They didn't want to see them prosper. The source of their blessing became the soreness in their eye. They disrespected God's people. They disrespected humanity itself. Look at verse 13. He said the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. I mean, verse 14 talks about the bitterness. Their lives, he made their lives bitter and under hard bondage. He had no respect for humanity itself. He treated them like dogs. He treated them more like mules than cattle in the field. Some historians say they actually harnessed some of the men. Treated them like animals. No respect for humanity. You understand what I'm saying? We're living in a day as such. Look around. Open your eyes. Not only disrespect for God's people and for humanity, but for life itself. Verse 15 and 16, he says, not only did he want to put the ones that were there under bondage and under slavery and under hard, cruel labor, he said in verse 15, he said the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name, and he gives the name in verse 16, he says, when you do the office of a midwife, that is the nurse that would come in and help birth the babies. He said, and you see them on the stool, that is get ready to give birth. He said, if it be a son, thou shalt kill him. Pick and choose. He said, if it's a girl, if it's a daughter, let her, she shall live. They're picking and choosing who's going to live. Can I say that's a national disrespect, not just to humanity, but to life itself? Can I say God is the creator and the giver of life? It's not up to you and I to take life. Look up in here. Hey, God will forgive you, but abortion's murder. And America, we're slaying them by the thousands. We want to know, what about Social Security? Where's it going to go? If we hadn't killed half a generation, Social Security would be in good shape. Not that you ought to rely on Social Security. Where's their new inventors? How come the other country? How come Japan's got better technology? How come they're doing this? Maybe we killed some of the greatest inventors and technological pioneers of our generation to come. Maybe we put them to death and put them in a tube. National disrespect. Can I say? They say, well, the mom has a choice over her body. How about that baby? Why don't you give that baby a choice? Can I say 100 out of 100 babies would choose life? You understand what I'm saying? Pro-life, pro-life. That's me, pro-life. And then they call, pro-choice, pro-choice. Give the baby a choice. Give the baby a choice. How many of y'all would have chose to be aborted? See what I'm saying? 100 out of 100 chooses life. national disrespect. Not just for God, but for humanity and for life itself. I mean, we could go back to that all humanity thing, and we've got men lying with man, just like dogs. Just like, I mean, matter of fact, animals got more sense than a lot of humans. And in killing, murdering babies, that's what they were doing right here. Pharaoh didn't want them Israelites to multiply. He didn't want them to increase. And he knew that if he killed all their baby boys, they was not going to procreate. They'd die out. So he said, I'll tell you what we do. We'll kill them all. And he sent them nurses down there. A time of national disrespect. You understand that's the day in which we're living in. I could preach right here for about a month, but I know y'all got chicken on your brain. Let me say this. Not only was a time of notable disregard and a time of national disrespect, but let me say this. It was a time of needed dedication. A time of needed dedication. Dedication. Pharaoh told the midwives to go down there and kill the boys. Verse 17. But the midwives feared God. But the midwives feared God. You know why people don't fear God today? Because they're not taught of God. They took God out of the school 40 some years ago. Kids don't grow up hearing about God. Kids don't hear. They don't fear the police officers. They don't fear mom and daddy because they don't fear God. They're not disciplined at home. They're definitely not disciplined at school. And when they get old enough, you better hope. You think they're going to have any respect for a boss? Or any respect for a police officer? Can I say the word cop is disrespectful? Everybody uses it in our day, but when it was began as a term, it was a disrespectful. When I was in trouble, when I was a kid, I got my mouth busted for saying the word cop. I'm just talking about the day of disrespect in which we live. It's time we get back to fearing God, having some respect for God, having respect for those in authority. Needed dedication. These ladies, they feared God, and the Bible says they did not, as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said unto them, why have you done this thing and have saved the men? And verse 19, they said unto Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively and delivered ere the midwife. Now, I'm going to say this, they could have been telling the truth, they could have lied. Some have suggested that they purposely showed up late so that the Hebrew wives already had the babies and they couldn't kill them. Some have suggested that. Some have suggested that they were lying to Pharaoh because they were scared of Pharaoh. I don't know what they did, but they purposely let the boy children live. They feared God. That's why. In verse 20, God must have been all right with it, because verse 20 says, therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. You say, preacher, they disobeyed public. I thought we were supposed to obey public. Let me say this. Go to the book of Daniel and you'll study the life of Daniel. Them Hebrew boys was told to bow down to the image of that idol when the music began to play. And they said, we will not bend. We will not bow the knee to your idol. They said, we will not. And so they did not. And God blessed them for disobeying. When the human government, listen to me, when human government contradicts Bible teachings, you are all right to go against human government. As long as they're not making you contradict the word of God, you'll be all right following them. You ought to. But when they contradict the word of God and try to make you oppose the word of God, it's time to take a stand against them. Daniel was blessed because of it. The Hebrew children was blessed of it. The apostles, go to Acts chapter number 5. Peter said, we ought to obey God rather than man. God blessed these Hebrew midwives because they feared God and they showed their dedication to God in the time of crisis. In a time when they were living in a time of notable disregard, and they were living in a time of national disrespect, I believe them Hebrew midwives, they must have remembered their mom was telling them a story about a man named Joseph. They must have remembered something about that famine that hit the land. They must have remembered something about it. Maybe somehow the truth got through to them, and they thought, wait a minute, we can't destroy this people. They had a fear of God. A healthy fear of God will help us this morning. A healthy fear of God will help a church. Healthy fear of God will help a nation. Healthy fear of God will help a bunch of lost people that need to be saved. It's needed dedication. They feared God and they did not as the king. And God blessed their dedication. Can I say we're living in a day when we need some dedication? Now, let me talk about our country. We need people that are dedicated. I still believe it's all right to fight for the red, white, and blue. It's all right to say I'm proud to be an American. Hey, America, I told you, was founded on godly principles and on the word of God. And it's been upheld because of that. And we stood with the nation of Israel and supported her. And we better look to doing it continued. Go to Genesis chapter number 12. The Bible said, hey, to Abram, he said, I'll bless them that bless thee and I'll curse them that curse you. You with me? As long as our nation has been in existence, our leaders have known one thing for sure. Stay in support of the nation of Israel. And I'm going to tell you, God has blessed America because of her support and her stand. Does that mean Israel's always right? No, they've got people make wrong decisions too. But we're not going to get in their way. Look up in here. We're going to help them. Bless them that bless thee. Curse them that curse thee. That principle and that promise has been proven time and time and time again. You go over here in Pharaoh. Y'all remember Pharaoh? Y'all remember what happened to the nation of Egypt and their army? A few years later when Moses was in control, Moses went through the Red Sea and they're still down there soaking up water. Y'all with me? Y'all ever heard of Hitler? Stalin? Where are they at? They cursed Israel. I'm telling you, it's going to happen to America if they don't watch out. I'm telling you, you better watch leaders that even hint at going against the nation of Israel. We need some dedication to our country, but let me say this, we need dedication to Christ. We're living in a time, I've preached on this time, and I'll preach it to the day I die. We are living in a day nobody wants to commit to nothing. Don't get quiet now. Commitment to Christ, dedication. How much time you spent with God this week personally? You, personally. How much time have you spent in devotional time, you and God? In prayer. How much time have you spent in the Word of God? We need people that will be dedicated to God, to God's Word, to God's house. Not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together as a manner of some is, and so much the more. It always gets quiet on that point. Can I say if you don't... I hope I don't make you mad. If you've got prior obligations, but when you don't come to church at a regular scheduled service, you're voting to close the doors. That's your vote. Many churches across our land, they're canceling Wednesday nights. They're canceling Sunday nights. They're canceling everything but a one-hour Sunday little get-together, have fun, woo-woo-woo service. But they don't come. I'm not talking about people that can't come or have to work or providentially hindered or matter. No, I'm talking about people that can and just find something to do. If you'd rather be at the ball field or at the lake or sitting on your porch, whatever. If you find something else to do besides be in church when you could be there, can I say you're part of the problem, not the solution? I say that in love. But we would raise Cain if the preacher even thought about canceling Wednesday night and Sunday night services and saying we're just going to have one service. What is he doing going contemporary? Is he a liberal? But when we have services, people don't want to come. We need dedication to God. We need dedication to God's house. We need dedication to God's Word. I'm talking about this King James Bible right here in my hand. It is the Word of God. It doesn't contain the Word of God. It is the Word of God. It's the perfect, inspired, infallible, preserved, inerrant Word of God. Amen. Right there. And it has the instructions that you need for your life. It has everything you need. Hey, let me say, these people in Joseph's day, they were disrespectful of the man of God. They were disrespectful to the word of God. They had forgotten the house of God. They forgot the ways of God. They forgot Joseph being used of God to make provisions. They forgot the work of God. Can I say America is fallen, and the church in America more so, not just the nation, but the church is falling right in the same tracks. We need some people that will be dedicated to the man of God, dedicated to the word of God, dedicated to the house of God, dedicated to the ways of God, dedicated to the work of God. These midwives, they feared God, and they did not do as he did, and God blessed their dedication for them to do right. God blessed them. God blessed them. Well, that's a pretty good introduction, wasn't it? Psalm 9:17 is an interesting verse. The Bible said, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God." So let me ask you a question. Have you forgotten? Have you forgotten? Y'all remember a few years ago, what is it? September the 11th, 2001. Is that the right day? Y'all remember? I remember where I was. Shorestrat, Virginia. I was in Rexford. I was running some hobbing machines, cutting some gears and some pinions. And a little short, about 5'6", 7", whatever, 250-pound black dude coming to me.
"Yeah, you hear what's going on, man?"
I said, "What are you talking about, Dick?"
He said, "We ain't got bombs. We're going to war."
I said, "What you talking about?"
"They up there in the office watching. It's on TV."
I said, "What are you talking about, Dex?"
"We done got bombed. They done bombed the Twin Towers and the Pentagon. And they're going for another one."
"What are you talking about?" And y'all remember the terror. Y'all remember. You probably remember where you was. They didn't mind praying them days. All in politics. Politicians got on the, they held hands, didn't matter if it was Democrat, Republican, black, white. What, they held hands and began to pray. But can I say, churches were full for a week, two, maybe three. But after a little time, it didn't happen again in 2 weeks. It didn't happen again in 3 weeks. Well, we'll be all right. Let's get back on our routine. Let's go over here. And I don't make a practice listening to country music. I don't think you ought to. I don't think it's good for your spiritual soul. But I heard a song a few years after that. I was going down the road going to preach somewhere, and I was flipping through the radio stations. You know, you put it on seek, and this song come on, and I heard this boy. And when I heard the first line, I told the fellow with me, I said, "Stop, I don't want to hear it." And he sang a song. I don't know how the song went, but the line in the song said, "Have you forgotten about Bin Laden?" And I thought, how in the world could any American with red blood running up and down his veins ever forget about Bin Laden? And ever forget about them, you know, they wasn't Baptist preachers. Y'all with me? They wasn't wearing suits and ties. How you gonna forget about somebody like that? Hops on an airplane and runs it into a twin tower. How are you going to forget about the thousands of people that they killed, and not only the ones they killed, but the families that they wreaked havoc on forever? How are you going to forget about that? I ain't going to forget about it. You with me? You young people, you don't need to forget about it, but watch this. Every day, we go around, live lives. Jesus Christ died for us. Jesus Christ laid his life down for us. Jesus Christ shed his blood, but we go through life. We don't need him. We don't have time to spend on him. We don't have time to be at his house. We don't have time to read his word. We don't have time. I got my own thing to do. Every day, we've forgotten way more than Bin Laden. Have you forgotten this morning? Needed dedication. Needed dedication. Preacher, how could America be turned into hell? How could Christians get to the place where God's not going to bless them? I'll tell you what, it starts out by getting comfortable. God blesses us, and you look at the nation of Israel. They were blessed. They got comfortable. They turned on God. God cursed them, brought judges upon them. Then they would get right with God, call out for God. God would deliver them. They'd experience the blessings of God. Go cycle, cycle, cycle right through. It starts out with being comfortable. We get comfortable in what we're doing. We get comfortable in church. We get comfortable with our family. We get comfortable with the blessings of God. And then we get careless. We drop our guard. We get careless. And then after careless, we're complacent. And then after careless and complacent, we begin to compromise. Because everything's going all right with us. So we don't want to wrinkle no feathers. We don't want to cause no problems. So we begin to compromise. And then we grow cold. And can I say when we grow cold and careless and we get always down to, hey, we will reap the consequences. Can I say God's not going to bless the church that plays half-hearted? It's not going to happen. You come to God and worship Him on Sunday morning and go out the rest of the week and live like a junkyard dog, you are wasting your time. Have you forgotten the price that Jesus Christ paid for your sins? Have you forgotten how good He's been to you? Have you forgotten what it means to be saved? Have you forgotten what it means to be redeemed? What it means to have your sins washed away? What it means to be made a new creature, have your slate wiped clean? Have you forgotten that you've got a home in heaven? Have you forgotten that you've got a promise? He's coming to get you. We've got a generation coming up that has never known the days of revival. They've never been in the meetings like their grandparents and great-grandparents have experienced. God has slowly but surely been removed from our society. And those who dare mention and serve Him were now looked at as troublemakers and a menace to our society. This is all taking place right here in a nation that one day was founded on God's words. We had a national motto, "In God We Trust." Where are we at today? God help us. Have you forgotten? Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord God, I pray you take this message and I pray, God, you'd work in hearts. God, do what only you can do. God, help us. Lord, our nation's in trouble. But Lord, not just our nation, our churches are in trouble. God, we've got pastors leaving the ministry every week. We've got churches closing doors and canceling meetings. We've got church members that are no longer faithful. We've got people that don't spend time in your word every day. We've got people that don't go to church when they ought to. We've got people that aren't faithful to be obedient to you, yet we cry out for you to bless us more and more and more. God, I pray you'd help us to see the sinfulness of our lives. God, I pray you'd help us to be real, real with you. God, I pray you'd search our hearts this morning, speak to hearts and lives, and help us never, God, to forget the Lord Jesus Christ and all that He means to us. Help us, I pray this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, the pianist is playing.